This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word. Now, Lord, let us hear with our inner ear, our spiritual ear, what you're saying to the church today. God, we thank you in advance, because we've come expecting a word from you today, and you will not disappoint our expectations. So we give you glory today to help us in this earth realm to live life victoriously through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 4, and I want to lift out a passage of scripture for our consideration today. Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. These are the words. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, listen, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, listen, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word, and more especially to the doers. For just a little while, I want to talk about the faith look. The faith look. This is such an important word today, especially to the body of Christ. Even though it combines both the Old Testament times and the New Testament times, and even extends itself now to the present day times, this reality is so important for the believer to comprehend, for you to walk in victory in every area of your life. There are some things about this word that we need to understand. There are such words as imputed, which means credited. Justification is another very important word that you find in this fourth chapter, which literally means just as if you did not do it, standing in a place of righteousness with God, a place of good standing with God. And of course, the righteousness which is of God, which is so important to recognize that we have been given We are not righteous in and of ourselves. Nothing we could do, nothing we could say could make us righteous before Him. It is a part of our salvation experience. And so keeping these words in mind as we look through this fourth chapter, you're going to recognize that there are some things that I want to lift up out of the Holy Writ so that you can focus on for your own understanding. Now, one of the things that I, again, was refreshed in this word was this faith look. Why is this so important? Because what is being established here by Paul to the church at Rome and to the believers today is the understanding of how you view faith, how you recognize your position and your place in faith. That you understand that where we are is not because of works of righteousness or good deeds or being good in and of ourselves, but it is faith through grace that provides for us what was provided for the father of faith, whose name was Abraham. And so this is not, we are not heirs of the promise according to the law. We are not Israelites, we're not Jews, we're not a part of the law that was given and made for them. But we are heirs by faith through Jesus Christ and the faith of Abraham, who believed God, who trusted God, who was a heathen and was credited as righteousness because and are righteous because of his belief in God. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's believing God that transforms us from who we are to who God would want us to be. It's believing God and knowing that He knows best and He sees more than we'll ever see. And He can tell us more than we'll ever know. And when we trust Him, it's the simple fact of believing Him, not being able to say, I know it all, but being able to say, I know someone who knows it all. And it is that kind of faith in God that brings His righteousness upon us. So I want you to look at this, because when we look at this faith look, it's so vitally important today for the believer to comprehend this, to get this, because this is what's going to transform your everyday life. This is what's going to catapult you into new arenas of belief and blessings. This is what's going to help you experience your deliverance and your breakthrough. This is what's going to help you to be able to become sanctified in a continual mode and fashion that will bring you into the fullness of God's blessings. How many will be honest today and say, God is not through with me yet? God is still working on me. He's still working on my mind. He's still working on my mouth. He's still working on my eyes. He's still working on my hands. He's still working on my feet. He's working on my heart. He's just working all over me still. So we need to understand this so that the development continues and even picks up speed, so that we can live in the forefront of all of the blessings and benefits that God wants for the believers. Let's go back to this word again, because when we look at this, because God has promised Abraham He'd make him the father of many nations. Now, there are three looks, and they go on until verse 25, if you will, from the 13th through the 5th verse, and we may not be able to get through all of them, but I'm going to throw them out so that if you're writing, you can take these down. The look of faith is a trifold look. And I just want to throw this out parenthetically. You'll see them as we walk through the scriptures. But first of all, faith is a look of the past. A look of the past. Faith is a look at the present. And faith is a look at the potential or the future. Now, one of the things that you're going to discover is that Abraham had the faith to look past some things that could have hindered him from walking into the blessings of God. You see, one of the things, my brothers and sisters, that we don't recognize and what's so important for the believer to understand is that Jesus came to pay for all of your sins, but not only your sins, but the penalties connected with your sins. Because what you got to understand is, if you have, and many of you have been in certain areas of collection where you've had to pay the debt, but if you didn't pay it on time, you had late fees or penalty fees. Those were in addition to the debt. Okay? And even if you paid the debt and did not pay the penalty or the fees, you still weren't truly paid all the way through. So, which meant the penalty of whatever it was still hanging over your head, or you were not truly free or liberated from that debt. Well, one of the things you got to realize is that a whole lot of us can't understand why we can't move forward until we understand by faith what has been dealt with and taken care of through what Jesus did for us with our past. You see, the Lord knows that if we don't understand the full plan of salvation and the full look of faith, that there are just some things that you are hung up on that happened years ago, months ago, weeks ago, days ago, just a minute ago, that can keep you from presently walking in your blessings and benefits. There are just some things that you're dealing with that you need faith to understand that you have pass them up, that they are a work of your past, and you need faith to leave them in the past. Some people right here today need to look past the past. But I need you to know it takes faith to look past some stuff you've been through. Sometimes we don't understand that though we are presently in a place beyond where we have passed, emotionally, psychologically, and even spiritually, we are still hung up in the past. There are some things that we can't let go of, or some things that don't want to let go of us, and we need faith to get past our past. It's hindering us because all of our energy and strength and focus should be in front of us and before us and looking beyond us. But because there are still some hang-ups in our past, we can't even focus right for looking back in the past. And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. The enemy wants you connected to your past so you really don't get a full view of what's in front of you. He wants to distract you in the present, and he wants to handicap your view in the focus of your future, because if you really get a real good view of what is ahead of you, you know the past won't be a problem any longer. That's why he keeps bringing up stuff from the past. That's why you keep getting calls from the past. That's why you keep running into your past. Oh, don't get quiet on me. I'm trying to help somebody here. That's why when your mind gets laxed and relaxed, it doesn't go toward the future. It naturally progresses back to the past. And so we've got to know that we need faith to look past some stuff. Tell your neighbor, it takes faith to look past some stuff. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Look at this word here. Look at this word. Because I want you to see this. Verse 18 literally gives us this word of looking past in the arena of faith. Looking past stuff. Verse 18 says, who against hope. And I love this, who against hope, because literally what it's saying is against human reason. In other words, Abraham no longer had a human reason to hope, because his vital, productive, speaking more of his wife Sarah, days were past. She had gone through what is known as the change of life. she could no longer, she was already barren, but she had already in her body naturally gone past the days of reproduction. She could not, by reason now of the fact that the body had shut down all of its reproductive organs and or operations, so that she could naturally have a baby by reason of old age. So now, humanly speaking, there was no reason for him to believe now that his wife could be pregnant or could ever be pregnant. The first problem was she was barren. And that problem continued on until she reached menopause and beyond, and reached the point and place where her reproductive organs and the operation ceased to be. So now, even while she was barren, that was at least a little hope, a little light, a little belief that at the end of the tunnel, maybe, I don't see the light now, but maybe something down the road can happen. But when that happened, all human reasoning said, give up hope. And why am I saying this? Because one of the things that Abraham had to do was he had to look by faith past what his past had recorded. His past had recorded that he no longer has an opportunity by virtue of what has happened in his past to now have a child. If he can no longer have a child by way of the promise God made him, then he could no longer be the father of many nations. He couldn't be the father of many nations because he couldn't even be the father of a son. So understanding this, you've got to recognize he had to operate in a look of faith that looked past his past, that looked past, listen, the natural human reasoning. And that's why you've got to understand, when God makes you a promise, many times, because the promise is so great and so unbelievable, and so many times you feel unworthy and you're saying, me, Lord? Look, somebody else is more worthy. Somebody else. Remember now, Abraham wasn't a religious or a righteous man by nature. He was a heathen. And it was by faith that he believed God. God counted, credited him, imputed him unto righteousness, and gave that credit to him and made him positionally righteous so that he could receive the benefits of God. It was because he believed God. So here's what you need to understand. What God has done once, he can do again and again and again and again if we believe him. And so he had to say, wait a minute, I was messed up when he met me. Things wasn't right in my life when he met me. But in spite of me, he looked beyond me and then called me close to him and said to me, I've got something for you if you'll just believe me. Listen at this, you're going to have to make some changes in your life. You're going to have to leave some things, some people, and some places. But if you really believe me, you'll move forward in what I've got in front of you. And at 75 years old, this man believed God and moved past his past. Now, my brothers and sisters, it was because of the promise. And the promise consisted of God's word. And it was God's word that he held on that gave him faith to hope against human reasoning. You see, if God tells you something, that ought to be enough faith in what God says that you can hang your faith on, hook your faith up to, and let his faith pull your faith out of your rut, pull your faith out of that place you're stuck in. Pull your faith past those things that said it cannot happen. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. It's taking too long to happen. But if God promised you, can I tell you, all he needs is you to believe he's going to do what he promised he's going to do. Tell somebody the faith look. means you got to look past some stuff. How many times has the devil told you it won't happen, it won't work, this won't go on, God won't do it, you messed up, it ain't right? Oh, but the look of faith in the past that says, wait a minute, I've been here before. And if he delivered me from this, that he can deliver me from this. If he brought me from that place, he can bring me to this place and to a place further than this. I believe God. Listen at this. I want you to see this because it's important. So when we look at the faith look, in this trifold look, we've got to know that we've got to look past some stuff. But I want you to see this because the Bible says also that there is a present look. So not only do I have to look past, but I have to look in. Because that's the faith look of the present. I've got to look in. I can't look at, because I'll see some stuff that'll discourage me. I can't look at, because I'll say, wait a minute, the time is past for this. It's gone. There ain't no hope. There is no opportunity there. I can't look at some stuff, because looking at some stuff don't make sense when the spiritual meets the natural. I can't look at some stuff because I've got to realize I'm made of dust and divinity. And when I look at stuff, that's with my physical eye, my natural eye. And I think with my natural mind. And the problem is that there are too many entities working in the natural realm that if I don't look within, that's my faith look. That's the inward look. That's the look that's based on the promise of God's word. That's the look that says to me, don't look. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith. So that's the look that I must connect to that causes me to rise above what is around me and what the physical might see as hindrances and impossibilities and the ability not to comprehend or to conquer when I look at stuff. So faith look two is the look within. Why? For greater is he that is in. When you don't understand it, when you're looking at it, look in. Because he can give you some revelation that you don't have at what you're looking at. So sometimes you've got to change your look and look inward and not so much at stuff. If we look at stuff too long, we start thinking wrong. We miscalculate, misjudge, because we're looking with a limited and fractured perspective. And so because when we look with the natural, we can't see the beginning to the end. All we can see is time in fragments of moments. And which means we can't see beyond this moment till the next moment. But if you look within, God will show you how this thing is going in. And you ain't got to wait till the end or till the battle is over to begin your praise party, because you've gotten a preview of what the end is going to be. Listen at this. Let's move on. And verse 19, being not weak in faith. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. That's hoping beyond reason, human reasoning now. He said, I ain't gonna even look at this flesh. He said, I'm not strong, and I don't have all of the wherewithal I used to have as a young man, and my hair's turned gray and are falling out. It don't matter. You know, when I look in the mirror, I don't see the man I used to see on the outside. But faith looks at him and says, now I'm a stronger, better man now than I ever was as a young man in the flesh. I'm a strong man in faith. And look at this word again. I love the way it says in verse 19, and being not weak in faith. And being not weak in faith. He was weak in the flesh, but he wasn't weak in faith. I'm trying to tell somebody whose flesh is weak right now, don't be discouraged. You might not be able to do the things you used to do in the flesh, but don't be discouraged. Because it ain't really about the flesh. We serve a God who's stronger and greater than the flesh. If we would look within, we will recognize and determine that there is strength greater in us that's inward than that is ever within us that is without or in the flesh nature. And being not weak in faith, listen, he considered not his own body now dead. How can you not consider your body that's now dead? Steps have gotten shorter. Strength has gotten weaker. You used to stay up all night long, not just past the sun going down. You got to take tonics and vitamins and all of this just to get enough strength to make it through the day. How can you not consider your own body? They couldn't get you to sit down one time. Now you don't want to stand too long. How can you not consider your own body, which is now dead, unproductive? No, you can't do nothing. God says you're going to have a child. It must going to come through osmosis. But listen at this, because we're talking about the look in now, Brother Johnson. Listen. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, verse 20 said, he staggered not. And here comes the revelation. At the promise of God through unbelief. See, because his faith inwardly said, don't look at what you see. Don't believe the world's report. Don't look in the mirror and take the mirror's word for your worth. You are greater than what you see. There's more to you than meets the eye. It was faith, not listen, in him, but in the promise of God. As a matter of fact, every day he would look at himself, he would look and say, man, I know I can't do it, but God, I'm waiting for you to do what you said you're going to do, because this will truly be a miracle. I am dead, and yet you're saying life is coming through me. I'm holding on to your promise. Here's what he resolved that we ought to resolve. When God says something, we ought to reach that point where we stop doubting, where we stop disbelieving. We ought to reach that point where we say, God, you said it. Your word confirms it. And if I don't do nothing else, I'm going to wait on it. Because my faith says I can't do it myself. If I could have, I would have done it by now. And so you've got something far greater to prove, not only to me, but to the world. And all I've got to do is hook my faith to yours and keep believing. And every day it doesn't happen, what happens is my faith strengthens. Instead of it getting weaker, my faith strengthens. Listen, the more the devil tells me I can't, I say, you're right, but he can. And it ain't about me, it's more about him. And so you start transferring the ability to get it done from you to him. God, do you hear what the devil is telling me? Do you hear what the naysayers are saying? Do you hear what these haters are saying about God? Show up and show out. I'm not going to stagger through unbelief at what you told me. Because a matter of fact, I know you didn't tell them. You told. So I can't get all shook up because they didn't hear what I heard. They don't see what I see. They don't know what I know. You told me. That's what you need to remember when folk don't see your vision. When folk don't understand what God told you. When things don't look like they're going to happen and the devil sends his imps to try to discourage you, what you got to say to yourself is, I understand your position because you're not in my position. And God didn't tell you, he told. So excuse me if I'm in the valley of the shadow of death and I don't fear no evil.
The reason is thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hey. 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 If you don't see me, I promise you'll hear me coming out that valley shouting, yay! Yeah! Yeah!